Raja Kacharya, also those AC, Bhaktipadam, Samshra Prabhupada, Gijaya, Namachar Hardas Thakur, Gijaya, Prince Gaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Dvaita, Gadadhar, Arshita, Gaur Bhakta, Vrindi, Gijaya, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopa, Govinda, Shama, Pandav, Radha, Kuti, Giri, Govardhan, Gijaya, Sri Vrindavan, Gijaya, Navaribdhan, Gijaya, Ganga, Jumana, Tulsi, Bhakti, Devi, Gijaya, Ananda Gauri Vaishnava Vrindiki Jai, Samabhata Bhakti Vrindiki Jai, Go Premanandi, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to Sri Guru Chikranga, all glories to the Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Prashadana, Nirvishesha, Shunyavani, Paschantadesha, Sarana, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhupada, Sri Advaita, Gadadhara, Arjuna, Gaurabhakta, Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Vishnu, Bhagavatam, chapter 7, verse 39. Sarva Dvisham, Sriyam, Gautam, Ashana Sati Vijaya, Achidya Nam Mahindraya, Vaishnavya Vijaya Vibhu,
Vaishnavya Vijaya Vibhu.
Suradusham, enemies of the demigod, Shriyam, opulence, Guptam, protected, Aushanasya, Avasukracharya, Api, although, Vidyaya, by the talents, Achidya, collecting, Adat, delivered, Mahendraya, unto King Indra, Vaishnavya, of Lord Vishnu, Vidyaya, by prayer, Vibhu, most powerful Vishwaru. Translation, the opulence of the demons who are generally known as enemies of the demigods is protected by the talents and tactics of Supracharya. The Vishwarupa was most powerful, composed a protective air known as the Narayan Kavacha. By this intelligent mantra, he took away the opulence of the demons and gave it to Mahendra, the king of heaven. Whereby the distinction between the demigods and demons is that the demigods are all devotees of Lord Vishnu, whereas the demons are devotees of demigods like Lord Shiva, goddess Kali, goddess Durga. Sometimes the demons are also devotees of Lord Brahma. For example, Hanikasipu was a devotee of Lord Brahma. Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. Mahishashura was a devotee of the goddess Durga.
demigods are devotees of Lord Krishna, whereas the demons are always against the Vishnu Bhaktas or Vaishnavas. To oppose the Vaishnavas, the demons become devotees of Lord Sri, Lord Rama, Kali, Durga, and so on. In the days of yore, many long years ago, there was animosity between the Devas and the Asuras, and the same spirit still continues. The devotees of Lord Shiva and Durga are always envious of Vaishnavas who are devotees of Lord Vishnu. This strain between the devotees of Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu has always existed in the higher planetary systems. Fights between the demons and demigods continue for a long, long time. Herein we see the Vishnu Rupa made for the demigods, a protective covering saturated with the Vishnu mantra. Sometimes the Vishnu mantra is called Vishnu Jvara and the Shiva mantra is called Shiva Jvara. We find in the Shastras that sometimes the Shiva Jvara, Vishnu Jvara is employed in the fights between the demons and the demigods. The word Sura Krisham, which in this verse means the enemies of the demigods, also refers to the atheists. Srimad Bhagavatam elsewhere says that Lord Buddha appeared for the purpose of bewildering the demons and atheists. His Supreme Personality Godhead always awards his benediction to the devotees. The Lord himself confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, O Son, come to declare a holy that my devotee never perishes. Text 40, Vishwarupa was most liberal, spoke to King Indra, the secret hymn that protected Indra and conquered the military power of the demons. Thus in the Bhagavad Gita, 6th canto, 7th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, titled Indra offends his spiritual minister for his study. Translation, the opulence of the demons, who are generally enemies of them, thus protected by the talents and tactics of Supracharya. But Vishwarupa was most powerful, composed a protective mantra known as the Narayan Kavacha. By this intelligent mantra, he took away the power of the demons and gave it to Mahendra, the king of heaven. So this is the simply the conclusion of this particular part of the story, in which Vishwarupa finally begins to act on behalf of the Devatas against the demons. And the reason that there is conflict is because the Devatas, both and the Brihaspati, consequently they become weak, and the demons are able to defeat them. So, somehow or other, the Devatas have to get back their power. So they employ Vishwarupa. So Vishwarupa, what does he do? He devises this particular mantra, which is here called Vidya. So by Vidyaya, by this knowledge, which is Vaishnavya, which means the Vishnu mantra, by this Vishnu mantra, then he was able to give back the powers to the Indra and the Devatas. So in other words, he used the powers of Vishnu for protection. So the next chapter talks about the Narayan Kavacha, how to protect the body with this series of mantras placed on different parts of the body. So kavacha literally means armor, or like a shield. So one protects oneself with armor around the body. So instead of physical armor, they use mantras, all dedicated to Vishnu, or at least Vishnu's name and syllables of his name. So they put that all over the body, and this way they get protection. So with this mantra of Vishnu, they use to get their power back and defeat the demons, in spite of having lost their powers because of offense to Brihaspati. So in this way, they utilize aspects of the power of the Supreme Lord. That, of course, is natural because the Supreme Lord is ultimately in control of everything, including the demons and the Devatas. So by his will, everything takes place. So sometimes people will worship Devatas to get different things. For instance, Prabhupada mentions here how the demons will worship Shiva or Kali or Durga. What do they want? They want power. They want wealth, etc. Material things. And, of course, the Devatas give them something. But the proper understanding is that whatever they give is ultimately given by the Supreme Lord. And that is clearly mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. So actually, it is improper to simply worship a Devata independent of the worship of Vishnu. If one wants to worship, fine. But one should understand that they are not actually giving And therefore, ultimately, one should worship Vishnu, and he is the ultimate giver. So though one can respect the Devatas, ultimately we should give more respect to the Supreme Lord and understand that they are only agents of the Supreme Lord. So we never worship them independently. So though the Vedas and the Puranas mention and praise all these different Devatas, this is, of course, for lesser people who can't understand the ultimate nature of Vishnu. So the provision is given for them. But if we read the scriptures thoroughly, we understand that ultimately Vishnu is in control of them. So therefore, they don't actually give independently. So if they seem to give, Shiva gives anything, or Durga gives anything, ultimately it's coming from the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. However, the Bhagavatam has a different purpose. And that is to show that even Vishnu is under Krishna. So though we say that Vishnu is the source of the Devatas and everything, ultimately we have to trace everything back to Krishna. So Krishna becomes the central topic of the Bhagavatam. Now the Bhagavatam is the conclusion of all the other scriptures because it was written last by Veda Vyas on the instructions of Narada. And therefore it gives the final conclusion. So though Vishnu and Rama and their avatars are all Supreme Lord, Narada Muni advised Vyasadeva to advise people in Kali Yuga to worship Krishna as the ultimate form of the Lord. Because the people in Kali Yuga need something attractive, so Krishna is the most attractive. So though Vishnu is the ultimate source of the Devatas, behind Vishnu we have Krishna. So throughout the Bhagavatam, we'll find in the third and fourth cantos a discussion of how Vishnu creates the material world, and then Brahma subcreates the material world, and then all the different lokas are put in place in the fifth canto, etc. And then the different avatars appear in the material world. So that is true. But ultimately, all that must be related to Krishna. So even the avatars and all the Vishnu forms and the creation of the material world, though it is done by Vishnu, etc., the avatars are free, ultimately comes back to Krishna. So it is mentioned when Krishna appears in the material world, he is born. All the forms of the Lord, all the avatars, Rama, Narasimha, and Vishnu forms, they all enter into the body of Krishna to participate in his pastimes. And when he leaves and disappears, then they go back to their own place again. So everything that is in all, any Devata is actually in Krishna. So we don't have to worship anybody else. We don't have to worship Narasimha Dev and Rama and Vishnu and everything. They're all in Krishna anyway. So, even if they're not personally there, they enter in and they leave when he disappears from earth still. Whatever power they have is within Krishna. So, therefore, nothing, we don't have to pray to anybody else ultimately. We only have to surrender unto Krishna and everything is solved. So, what to speak of applying to Devatas, even if we don't have to apply to other forms of the Supreme Lord, ultimately we have to apply to Krishna. And it's complete. Everything is complete. So therefore, he is, of course, all the forms of the Lord are purna, or perfect. But he is purnatama. He is the most perfect manifestation of all. So, people may argue with that. Of course, they may argue that Vishnu is not supreme, Devatas are supreme, because Puranas say this and Puranas say that. But, if we take the final conclusion of the Vedas and the Puranas and Bhagavad Gita, then we find that Vishnu is supreme, not the Devatas. So on that basis, many acharyas will argue, because it's easy to establish Vishnu is supreme through Shruti. And even if we don't use Puranas, through Shruti we can establish Vishnu as supreme over the Devatas. It's a little more difficult to establish Krishna as the supreme form through Shruti, though he is mentioned in several places, particularly in Gopal Tapani Upanishad, which they may not accept, but anyway. So therefore, we usually use Bhagavatam as our source for showing Krishna as supreme. But, and people will challenge that, why Bhagavatam? Why not Vishnu Purana? Why not Mahabharata? Why not that? So the reason is already established by our acharyas, particularly Jiva Goswami, that, and of course Lord Chaitanya also said that Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutras, which is a commentary on the Shruti. So, therefore, we should accept Bhagavatam as the supreme authority finally, because it is the conclusion of whatever the Brahma Sutras are saying, whatever the Upanishads are saying, is the final conclusion. So, the obvious conclusion of Bhagavatam is Krishna. And therefore, the 10th canto is allotted to his description and pastimes, etc. And everything revolves around that. So there's 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Sarga and Visarga, Stana, Uti, etc. And the ultimate topic is Asraya. That's the final topic. So Asraya, of course, means shelter. Of course, it also means the cause of everything. And everything, shelter means everything depends on it. So, there are many topics in Bhagavatam, but the ultimate topic is Asraya. And what is the Asraya? The Asraya is Krishna. And that is discussed in the 10th canto. So, though the Vishnu forms and avatar forms are also Asraya because they're all God, nevertheless, the 10th canto is dedicated to Krishna and none of the other avatars. So therefore, ultimately, after we look at all the different forms of the Lord and discard devatas or worse, then we come up to the topmost, and that is Krishna. So he is the ultimate shelter of everything. So, ultimate shelter because all the other qualities and everything are in him, plus he has extra qualities that the others cannot manifest or do not manifest. So therefore, he's in a very, very special position. So, therefore, it is not necessary to apply to devatas or even other forms of the Lord because everything is completed in Krishna. So, people that don't have an understanding, then they can apply to at least forms of the Lord and not to other forms. In other words, not to devatas. Those who have lesser understanding will apply to devatas. That, of course, is better than not doing anything. So therefore, some Puranas glorify Shiva and some Durga, etc. The glorification of the Puranas. So give people that faith. But that is lower understanding and is ultimately rejected in the Bhagavad Gita, even though in chapter 3 it says, worship the devatas and get your desires fulfilled. And then he goes in chapter 9 and says, it's all foolish. So therefore, a higher understanding is that we worship Supreme Lord. And then if we have highest understanding, then we just worship Krishna. So the whole process becomes very, very simple. And we don't have to worry too much about having to worship many different deities or whatever. So by worshiping Krishna, then automatically everything is fulfilled. That is the definition of faith given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shraddha means by serving Krishna, everything is fulfilled. Everything is completely satisfying. So we don't have to do anything else. But in doing so, we have to do it purely. So if we are worshipping Krishna, then we worship him because I want this and I want that, then it becomes mixed bhakti, not pure bhakti. So the true devotee, therefore, does not even ask for anything. He simply worships the Lord. And he doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't have any other motive. He simply worships the Lord. Why? Obviously, he can't be by force. It has to be voluntary. So if he volunteers, there must be a reason somehow. But if we have a reason that I want to get something, it immediately becomes material. And therefore, it's called mixed bhakti. Of course, we could say, I want to get liberated from the material world, so that's a spiritual reason, so therefore that's okay. But that's also mixed. That's called Gyan Visar Bhakti. And if we want material things, then it's called karma, Mr. Bhakti. I want to get some money, I want to get some power, I want to get some livelihood through serving Krishna. Then that is all called mixed bhakti, karma, Mr. Bhakti. So when we have no desire for ourselves at all, then that bhakti is called pure bhakti. It is not devoid of desire. Desire is there. In fact, desire is necessary and it is also praised. But it is desire to serve the Lord. And therefore, the people of Vrindavan, the Rajavasis, they are considered the highest devotee because they have the highest desire to serve Krishna. And of all those devotees, the gopis have the highest desire to serve Krishna, therefore they are considered the ultimate devotees. So desire is not wrong, but it is directed towards the Supreme Lord, not for ourselves. And then everything is fulfilled. What is the everything? The everything is one gets the highest bliss. We may say, well, what about money? What about material things? What about health, etc.? These are all material things. So the Lord may or may not interfere with your karma or whatever. He may give, may not give, whatever. But if one gets the highest thing, the highest bliss, eternally, then what is the necessity of that? Because you leave your material body anyway, and there's no necessity of worrying about these things. So, one gets completely satisfied by establishing that relationship with Krishna. And everything is fulfilled by that. So therefore, the devotee doesn't ask for petty material things. Dhruva, after he saw the Lord, then he understood, oh, all of my desires to get a material kingdom are useless. And then he regretted asking for material things because he understood all useless in comparison to the bliss he got simply by seeing the Supreme Lord. So that is the ultimate desire of the jiva, to become completely happy. And he can do that by selfless service to the Supreme Lord. So that is the ultimate aim of the devotees. So here we find that the devatas and Vishwarupa are involved in trying to get something back, that material power. And they have to use Vishnu mantra for that. So this is somewhat materially mixed motives. Ultimately, of course, their desire is to serve the Lord, because if the demons are in power, then that means the devotees do not live very nicely. They get persecuted. So, whereas the devatas are in power, then the devotees are safe. So it's not completely material, but nevertheless, they have motives here involved in using the Vishnu mantra. Always respect. There's no problem respecting. In fact, one of the angas of bhakti is do not disrespect the devotees. So we cannot disrespect any living entity. That's also another anga of bhakti. Don't disturb any living entity. Another one is don't disrespect the devotees. So we have to respect them, definitely. But we understand that they are not supreme. And we don't worship them independently. Back there in the temple west side is Kurma. So you worship Kurma there. And if it's Shavai, then it's Narasimha. accept any aspect of the Lord for good things. Nothing doesn't matter. Well, the Bhagavatam is emphasizing Krishna as the ultimate. Lord Chaitanya comes to introduce the Yuga Dharma, and Lord Chaitanya also says, worship Krishna. But it is through the worship of Lord Chaitanya that we can actually appreciate Krishna. But we cannot separate the two worships. We cannot worship Lord Chaitanya independently of Krishna. Well, traditionally in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, it's only Radha Krishna. We'll see in the main temples. The Goswami temples were all Radha Krishna temples. Secondarily, of course, we can have many deities or whatever, but they're always in a secondary position. Well, Radha is considered the highest devotee in her group, which includes Lalita and Vishakha and Indu Lake and Sampakalata, etc. They're considered the highest. They're also high, but they're not as high as Radha in her group. Second highest is Chandravali in her group. Well, it's not offensive, but it is on the level of bhava. If one is in Radha's group, then they don't want to hear about Chandravali because she's the competitor, that's all. But that is in terms of rasa. In terms of devotees, they're all exalted Nityasiddha devotees, so we can never criticize them. No, by chanting the name of Krishna, all the effects of all the grahas disappears.
காசு முடிஞ்சது இது கேளுங்க.